بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على المبعوث رحمة للعالمين، وعلى آله وأصحابه وأزواجه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. The next chapter is on the speech of Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم. Aisha radiallahu anha, she says, the speech of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was not quick and continuous as that of yours. He spoke clearly, word for word. A person sitting in his company remembered what he said. So as far as the speech of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is concerned, he spoke very clearly. He spoke in such a way that the person who was in front of him, he understood. And he didn't continuously keep on talking. Rather, he took a break so the person who's listening, it's not too much for him to take in, so that you know he has a hard time understanding. Anas radiallahu anhu says that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sometimes repeated a word as was necessary thrice, so that his listeners understood well what he was saying. At times when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wanted to stress on a certain point, he would mention that not only once, twice, but three times, so that the message would be very, very clear. So, in conclusion to this chapter, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he spoke very clearly. He spoke in such a way that he didn't continuously speak, rather he took breaks, he paused. And at times, like I said, he would repeat it three times if there was something that was important. And his words that he chose were very simple. He did not try to impress people by using big words. Unfortunately, nowadays this is becoming a trend, especially with lectures. They try to impress people with different big words, and where people, they don't really understand, but they get impressed. We don't know what he's saying, but we're happy with what he's saying. So, but this is against the Sunnah. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, he kept the entire crowd in mind when he spoke. He knew that in his crowd there are people who are educated, there are people who are uneducated. There are those people who understand, they have some, and there are people who have a hard time understanding. There are some children. So accordingly, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam, to convey the message to the entire crowd, he would speak in very simple terms. He would speak in very simple words so that everyone can understand, even children can understand what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said. The next chapter is on the laughing of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Jabir radiallahu anhu says that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's laugh was only a smile. In other words, Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, in most cases, he would just smile. He wouldn't laugh in such a way that his teeth would show a lot. Rather, the most that you'll find in the hadith is that the front teeth of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam would show. But to laugh so loud with a lot of noise and to giggle, that is against the sunnah. And in fact, Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam has even prohibited that. In the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam, rather, he said that person who laughs in that manner, he is being deprived of the thought of the hereafter. Meaning that, he's so engrossed, he doesn't have that concern of the hereafter, that's why he's laughing so hard over here. So, as far as laughing is concerned, it is permissible, but to laugh so loud that you make a lot of noise, and you're just losing control, that is against the sunnah. In fact, it is makruh. It is undesirable to do something like that. Abdullah ibn Harith radiallahu anhu says, I did not see anyone who smiled more than Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam's nature in general was he was a very jolly, very happy person. And his gathering was very, very pleasant. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, he would smile often. And he would try to make others smile as well in his gatherings. Rather, obviously, at times when he would be mentioning about Akhirah, talking about, Qiyamah, talking about the grave, talking about Jahannam, then in that case, he would cry. He would cry a lot too. And inshallah, we're going to be going through that chapter of the crying of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as well. Abu Dharr radiallahu anhu, he says that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said that I know of a person who will enter into Jannah and he will be the last person that will be taken out from Jahannam. So the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam was explaining the situation to Sahaba, and the situation was that this person who would come out, he would be the last person to enter into Jannah. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went on by saying that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He would bring forth upon him all of the minor sins that that person committed. You know, subhanAllah, we don't give importance to sins at all, major or minor. Over here the hadith is telling us even minor sins will be accountable. It's not like it won't be. Many times we feel it's just something that is minor. No, even minor could be major on the day of Qiyamah. So the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam was explaining that all of his minor sins will be brought and it will be exposed to that person. And this person, just by looking at his minor sins, his major sins, Allah won't even disclose that upon him. He will just show up him all of his minor sins. This person will lose heart and he will just say to himself, you know, I'm just doomed. Looking at all the minor sins, may Allah protect us. But he will be looking at all of his minor signs and he will say, there's no way that I can enter into Jannah. So he will say to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, oh Allah, there is no point of you going through all of my minor signs. I know where I'm going to end up going. So oh Allah, just throw me into Jannah. He will lose hope. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say to him that, would you like it that I turn all your minor signs into good deeds? SubhanAllah. Would you like it that all of these sins that you have committed, would you want me to turn them into good deeds? He would say, oh Allah, you have power over it, but I don't know what to tell you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would order the malaika to change all of his minor signs that he has committed into good deeds. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam goes on by saying that when he would see all of his minor signs, or minor sins, have been changed into good deeds, amal saliha, he would say to Allah, what about my major signs, my major sins now? So at this, Jarir radiallahu anhu, subhanallah, he said, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he started to smile. Subhanallah. So, and he would remind Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam goes on by saying that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would even change his major sins into good deeds and he will be entering into Jannah. This is the rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The next chapter is, this chapter was on the smile of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The next chapter is on the joking of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You would think that, you know, the Prophet of Allah, he was very serious. No, subhanAllah, he was very down to earth. He would joke with Sahaba radiallahu anhu ajma'in as well. In fact, the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam, he says in one hadith, أَنْزِلُ النَّاسِ مَنَازِلَهُمْ, that come down to the level of people. And if you need to come up, then you come up to the level of people. Depending on who you're dealing with and who you're talking with. If you're talking with children, then you come down to their level so that they can understand what you're saying. You talk to them what interests them. Not that you're talking about your work and they're just looking at your face. So what is dad saying? No, talk to them something that interests them. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, subhanAllah, was such a person that any child would come, and if he saw Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam just walking, he would grab his hand and take him and start playing with him. This is the Prophet of Allah. The Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam would say, no, I don't have time, you don't know who I am, subhanAllah. And the Prophet alayhi salatu, he doesn't even know, it's not even his own child. But subhanAllah, this child would take the finger of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and say, I want to play with you. And the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam would start playing with that child. And subhanAllah, even amongst the surroundings of Sahaba, the galaxy of Sahaba, you will find many Sahaba, they were very lighthearted. They weren't very strict. They were very easygoing. And they used to joke amongst each other. Anas radiallahu anhu, he says that once Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told me, and remember, if you look at what I was saying before as well, many of the hadith which talk about, you know, the personal life of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, it is mentioned by Anas radiallahu anhu because he spent 10 years with the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. 10 years with him. So Anas radiallahu anhu, he says, once the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, he called me, Ya Dhul Udhanain, the one who has two ears. Everyone has two ears. But the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, he meant, as the muhaddithin they say, that he meant it as in a joking way, that you know your ears are very, very sharp. So that's why he said, Ya, the person who has two ears. Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, he says, a sahabi asked Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam, do you joke with us? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, yes, I do, but when I joke, I still speak the truth. So this is a very important lesson that we learn as far as joking is concerned, that it is permissible within the Sharia and is something that is advised to do. But there are certain limits that we have to follow. There are certain rules and regulations that whatever we say, whatever we joke about, number one, it shouldn't be insulting to the other person. You know, sometimes we joke and there could be other people, but we may say something just so that other people can laugh, but this person, he's feeling hurt inside. So that is not permissible. Number two, that whatever we're saying, it has to be true. It can't be just made up, just so that we can make people laugh. That's not permissible either, as you know, as the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam has mentioned in here. Anas radiallahu anhu relates that a person requested from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that he be given a conveyance. So a person came to him and said, Prophet of Allah, can I have a conveyance? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied, a child of a camel should be given to you. So he said, O Prophet of Allah, what is a child, baby camel, how is that going to help me in my conveyance? I need something big. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said to him that, you know, subhanAllah, every camel that is big, what it was a child once. This was the joking of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the last hadith, inshallah, I'll finish. Hassan Basri rahimahullah, he says that an old woman came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and she said to Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam, O Prophet of Allah, can you make dua that I can enter into Jannah? So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said to her that no old woman is going to Jannah. No old woman is going to Jannah. She started to cry. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told someone to call that woman back, and he said, that's not what I meant. I meant that every woman and man who's gonna enter into Jannah, they won't be in the state of being old, rather they're gonna be young. So I will make dua, but you won't be old when you enter into Jannah, inshallah you'll be young. So these were the types of jokings that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did. It was something that was pleasant, and like I said, it's not only allowed, rather it's something that we should do within our family, but there are some certain restrictions or certain guidelines that we have to follow. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the ability of practicing upon the sunnahs of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.